This is Radio Superior, 1956. A reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll, stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels here, rocking your world. It's a Radioactive Tuesday, October 30th, 1956. Dennis Anderson has the 6 o'clock news. We've got the Halloween movie rundown, and we've got the scariest Halloween-y costumes. Maybe I'll go as a nuclear fallout mutant Red Owl.
Unless Red Owl is sponsoring the news.
Firestone is paying the light bill tonight. Firestone has a break special. $3.50 value for just $1.19. It's all yours, Denio.
Good evening, everybody. Britain and France issued a Middle East ultimatum as Egyptian and Israeli forces clash. The Reds in Hungary concede to rebel forces. And scientists are divided about the danger of nuclear fallout. We begin our world report from Egypt.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in Cairo. Egypt and Israel received a stern warning from Britain and France today to cease fighting in the Sinai Peninsula. The Western powers threaten to occupy key positions in the Suez Canal zone unless there is a ceasefire within 12 hours. The announcement comes as Egyptian and Israeli forces clash deep within the Sinai Peninsula. Prime Minister Anthony Eden says Britain and France have asked both sides to keep their forces 10 miles away from the canal. At the same time, the United States asked the UN Security Council to order Israel to withdraw immediately from Egyptian territory. Egyptian President Nasser has ordered a general mobilization as the fighting looks more and more like war. Military spokesman at Tel Aviv announced the capture of El Kisama, 10 miles inside the Egyptian border. This indicates the Israelis had struck at points scattered over a 70-mile front in their invasion of Egypt yesterday. Tel Aviv also announced the Israeli Air Force is in action attacking Egyptian convoys. In Cairo, this is Max Jordan.
This is Washington, Jack Bell reporting. The Eisenhower administration today alerted congressional leaders for emergency conferences at the White House on the Middle East fighting. The report of the standby alert came after a 75-minute conference President Eisenhower had at the White House with Secretary of State John Foster Dulles, Undersecretary Herbert Hoover Jr., and Department Legal Advisor Herman Flager. Even as Eisenhower was talking with Dulles, the President's press secretary, James Hagerty, announced that Eisenhower had canceled plans for a flying campaign trip tomorrow to Texas, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. Eisenhower's whole schedule is being kept flexible to give first priority to the situation resulting from the march by Israeli troops into Egyptian territory. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is Ray Tucker in Boston. Adlai Stevenson says the new crisis in the Middle East shows Eisenhower has withheld the truth about developments abroad and is endangering, quote, our very survival, unquote. Stevenson says the administration, quoting again, has been telling us that all is well in the world, that there's peace, that there is, as the president announced only a few days ago, good news from the Middle East. These reassurances have been tragically less than the truth, end quote. Meanwhile, in Jacksonville, Florida yesterday, Eisenhower said this nation must remain militarily strong, pursuing peace at the same time. Referring to efforts in Poland and Hungary to escape Russian domination, the president said, quote, this is not the time to stop the draft. This is not the time to stop perfecting our weapons, end quote. In Boston, this is Ray Tucker, Associated Press.
This is Vienna, Stan Turner reporting. Hungary's Red government virtually conceded complete victory to the revolutionary forces today and called on the nation to prepare for free elections. Premier Imre Nagy announced the one-party communist system has been abolished. The communist premier told the nation today he has called on the Soviet Army Command to begin immediate withdrawal of troops from revolt-torn Budapest. Nagy proposed in a broadcast over Radio Budapest the formation of a coalition government, meaning one of several parties, similar to that established just after the end of World War II 11 years ago. The Peasant Party and a moderate party of farmers and businessmen called the Smallholders were among the most popular in 1945. There are ominous reports in Vienna that the Russians are moving reinforcements to the capital. One report is that tank reinforcements are clanking from the Soviet Union through northeastern Hungary. Another that several tank columns are closing on Budapest from the southeast. The important question is whether the rebel leaders will place their confidence in Nagy after 11 years of communist rule with rigged elections and suppression of free speech. Fighting slacked off at the Maria Theresia barracks, a rebel strong point in a week of civil war. Insurgents who had held out against Soviet tank fire marched out defiantly this morning and announced they would not put down their arms until the Russians have left Budapest. In Vienna, this is Stan Turner.
This is Alton L. Blakesley, AP science reporter in New York. Like a splitting atom, the nation's scientists are divided over the dangers from fallout and bans on H-bomb tests. Many are expressing opposing views. This may be puzzling to listeners who wonder why they disagree and who is right. One is that the degree of fallout has not reached dangerous levels and won't even if tests are continued at the same rate for 30 years. Another, held by equally prominent men, is that some of the fallout is unsafe already or will be with continued tests. They differ as to whether the risk to genes and human heredity is large or small, whether, even if the risk actually is tiny, that this justifies exposing any future children to harm, or whether this risk is justified to help prevent atomic attacks that could wipe out the nation. How can there be differences of opinion on what the safe limits of fallout exposure are? For the simple reason that no one has an absolute answer to this question. Not enough is known, for example, about the actual effects of tiny doses of radiation on human genes. In New York, this is Alton L. Blakesley.
This is Drew Pearson with the Washington Merry-Go-Round. It's just been learned that 1 month ago, the Atomic Energy Commission suddenly killed a survey of nuclear fallout by state health departments. At the time the survey was canceled, increases in radioactivity as high as 25 times normal was reported by some monitoring stations. Despite this, and despite the Atomic Energy Commission's agreement to consider 10 times normal as the alarm point, the state public health officials were told on September 26th to end their monitoring within 24 hours. This was just 6 days after Adlai Stevenson made his full-dress proposition to abolish H-bomb tests because of danger of radioactive fallout. Original purpose of the state surveys was to reassure the American public regarding the 1956 nuclear tests at Eniwetok. 2 years earlier, the heavy radioactive fallout over Bikini Atoll frightened people throughout the world and contaminated fish caught for sale in Japan. So this year, the AEC asked the Public Health Service to set up a fast monitoring system using state health services. Questioned by this column about the findings of the state survey, Dr. Gordon Dunning of the AEC's Division of Biology and Medicine was reluctant to comment. Dr. Dunning did admit some figures showing a substantial rise in radioactivity during and after the Eniwetok test held May 5th to July 23rd this year. Between May 4th and August 31st, radioactivity in the air west of the Mississippi increased 5 to 10 times normal in certain areas. Between September 1st and the cutoff date of September 27th, it increased as high as 15 to 25 times normal. With the Washington Merry-Go-Round, this is Drew Pearson.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this word from Stax.
Hey, Stax Department Store has a big special going on Christmas right around the corner, and Stax Toyland is got some hot buys for you. Here's where the letters to Santa get answered, but you better shop early. Now, they've got a musical rocker for just $7.50, a play schoolhouse, $6, tea sets, $1.95 to $5.98, golden typewriter, $3.98, phonograph and records, $9.98. The Enchanting Land of Playtime is open, and the gifts are really something special this year. So if you're smart and an early Santa, choose your toys all you need first, and we'll hide them for you. You'll be assured of the cream of the crop. Feature just a few of the wonderful selections at the downtown store. That's Stax Toyland, located at 13th and Tower, Superior. Denny?
The state is ordering cities to work out their own civil defense survival plan in the event of nuclear attack. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Good evening, Denny. Wisconsin's Civil Defense Department is negotiating to set up a survival plan project office and staff. Acting Superior City Manager E.W. Berg says he'd like to do a joint Duluth and Superior Civil Defense plan. At the last council session, Duluth Mayor Eugene Lambert said a joint survey is being made available free of cost. Meanwhile, Tom Larson of the Superior Fire Department attended the Civil Defense School at Olney, Maryland for disaster training. He says he's trying to secure facilities for a permanent training center within the Superior City limits. He also says that with the cooperation of the city fire chief, a selected few firemen are undergoing training with him so that he will be able to train others. County Civil Defense Manager Gus Fried says his plans show a frightening picture. He pointed to city councilmen that a radius of 20 miles around Superior could not be used for evacuation housing in event of nuclear attack because of the devastation. He says areas around Brule, Lake Nebagamon, Solon Springs, Gordon, and Wascott are being investigated for housing in case of that disaster. Fry says a communication system from villages to city will have to be set up and plans made for use of highways and secondary roads for evacuation, Denny.
Republican Attorney General Vernon Thompson says he will clobber Democrat William Proxmire in next week's election. Thompson predicts he will win a greater number of votes than retiring Governor Walter Kohler got in 1954 when he beat Proxmire by 35,000 votes. KDAL-TV News Director Earl Henton says the Drew Pearson Weekly Show did not appear on his channel yesterday because it contained partisan comments. He says KDAL-TV could not offer equal time for opposing views prior to the November 6th election. Henton made his announcement in answer to several queries raised by viewers of Channel 3. And finally, well-known area fishing and hunting authority Rocky Teller will be the main speaker at the Concordia Brotherhood Father and Son Banquet tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. at the Concordia Lutheran Church in Superior. An interesting program is scheduled. Besides Teller, magician Bob Lynch will also be featured. Saxophone player James Borgaro, cornet player Calvin Doty, and pianist Ronald Elbert will afford the music. That's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind, especially to Tim.
Because I'm so sensitive. By the way, Denny, you ever going to get yourself on TV one of these days?
You never know what the future brings.
I see Lou doing the news on WDSM-TV every night at 6 o'clock.
He's doing great, and he loves it, and it opens this gig for me. And wait a sec. You mean you're watching Lou doing the news while I'm doing it on your own show?
I prefer a black-and-white Lou to a Denny live and in color. Let's see what the weatherman's got cooking for this Tuesday, October 30th, 1956. Actually, I just copied Jack McKenna's forecast on WDSM-TV.
If you're going to cheat, then copy the best.
Jack is the best. Showers ending this evening, cooler tonight with a low of 34, nippy, frost-inducing degrees. Sunny and breezy tomorrow with a high of 58. And the trick-or-treaters and their scary threads will be real long gone with tomorrow night's half moon. It'll be red and orange, courtesy of King Timothy. Now from the cream of the crop, from the top of the pops, from the stack of the back of the wax, it's time for Frankie Lyman. Frankie turned 14 last month, but was 13 when they cut that wax last January.
Why do birds sing so? Thank you.
Teenager's big hit this year with Frankie Lyman. Frankie, unbelievably, just turned 14 last month, was 13 when they cut that song last January.
A regular violation of child labor laws, if you ask me.
It's the labor guy, Jay Fisher, playing the part of a wet rag.
Hey, I likes the song and all. I'm just saying, toy teens, pretty young for that kind of thing. I mean, who's watching him?
There ought to be a law.
I think there is. What there should be is a union to protect youngsters. We at the Superior Federation of Labor cares. That's something that KDAL-TV cut off Drew Pearson at the knees. The fat cats don't like Drew Pearson, I can tell you that. I know they got lots of calls about that.
Besides you?
Hey, you'd better believe I called. He was going to talk about the importance of labor in next Tuesday's presidential election. And we're big, brother. 28% of working men and women in the United States belongs to a union. That's the most ever. Both Governor Stevenson and President Eisenhower want our votes. Ike just told the Carpenters Union last week at their 73rd birthday bash that organized labor is a worthy representative of free American labor and a dynamic builder of the free American system. He points out correctly that the union boosts workers' pay and that labor's share of the national income is the highest ever, 20%. Now, AF of L-CIO President George Meany says they're all for the Stevenson-Kefauver ticket, but he says the decision is ours alone. What matters is it is our sacred duty to cast our ballot on Election Day next Tuesday.
So, wearing a cape for Halloweeny tomorrow? You look like a cape kind of guy.
For the last 6 years, I've been going as tail gunner Joe McCarthy, but he's no longer the Halloween mask of choice for union brothers and sisters. This year, it's Tricky Dick Nixon.
Ooh, keep the kiddies inside. That's out of this world scary, man. All right, guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, let's boogie woogie to Bill Doggett and Honky Tonk Part 2 on the Tim Michaels Dance Party. Yeah, new from Bill Doggett, Honky Tonk Part 2, but you knew that. He says it so many times on the tune on Kickin' KUWS.
So if Jack and Lou are on TV, why aren't we?
If we hold a number under our chin, man, and we look like we should be in the penitentiary.
Does that go for me too, Timothy?
Harriet, you Bonnie, me Clyde, and Denny can be Babyface Nelson.
Better than Scarface Capone.
Or Ma Barker, that'd be lame.
So would continuing this conversation. Harriet Fahrig is here with the movies playing tomorrow night for Halloween.
Oh, it's just so weird. 30 years of Lewis on the radio introducing me, and now he's on TV.
Okay, then. With a nod to Lou, here's the lovely Harriet Fahrig.
So, wake us up with the silver screen action.
No waking out here. And surprise.
Lewis, what a wonderful, sweet surprise.
Now the lovely Harriet Fahrig with what's playing at the theater.
I prefer your introduction to Wig Out any day. Lots of Fright Delights tomorrow night, starting at the Superior Theater. They're showing Forbidden Planet with Walter Pigeon and Francis and Leslie Nielsen.
Don't forget the star of the show, man.
And Robbie the Robot, of course.
I tells you what, Robbie's 7 feet, 2 inches tall with artificial intelligence. And Dr. Morbius programmed him to help people. He'd be a good union man.
Seen Forbidden Planet a few times?
6. It's great.
It's radioactive as well. The Superior Theater charges just 50 cents for adults, 20 cents for kids under 15. At the Beacon, it's the greatest love and adventure drama of the Sahara as savages by the thousands storm our heroes Lawrence Harvey and Anthony Steele in Storm Over the Nile.
Ooh, sounds scary, but not Halloween-y.
Tim's right. No monsters or robots or haunted houses.
This one you'll love then, Lewis and Timothy. The Palace Theater will have a twin-billed Halloween double horror show with 2 starrific suspense dramas. First, Anthony Dexter and Susan Shaw are out of this world in Fire Maidens from Outer Space.
That's more like it. Outer Space is scary.
The Fire Maidens sound saucy.
I like saucy.
Lewis... The second end of the Halloween twin bill stars the most frightening characters to hit the silver screen, Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, in Invisible Ray. This 1936 film has a professor who invents a telescope that can see far into outer space, allowing him to see the past when a meteorite struck Africa thousands of years ago. That's when things get really scary. That's at the Palace Theater in downtown Superior. The double feature starts at 11:30 tomorrow night.
I've got something even more frightening than Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff. It's my twin spin! Pat Boone and then Fats Domino square off with Ain't That a Shame.
Why is that scary?
You got Square, you got Lame, you got Out to Lunch, and then you got Pat Boone. He's especially scary to black singers because he keeps covering their songs. That's a word from the bird. He's covered Tutti Frutti, Long Tall Sally, and now, I'm not even sure if I can do this twin spin. Here we go with Ain't That a Shame on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Said we'll part, ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Farewell, goodbye. Although I'll cry, ain't that a shame?
A
KUWS Twin Spin. Now Fats Domino.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. You broke my heart when you said we'll part. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Although I'll cry, ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Oh, well, goodbye. Although I'll cry. Ain't that a shame? Tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
A KUWS Twin Spin. Pat Boone and Fats Domino. Hey, I got to play the newest one from Fats now, just to make the ghost of Pat Boone go away. So brand new on Imperial Records, here's Fats Domino and Blue Monday on the Tim Michaels Pat Boone Exercising Show.
You know, if you did more exercise, you'd look more like Pat Boone.
Blue Monday, I'm a high Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day.
feel better. That's Fast Domino and Blue Monday on Kickin' KUWS, Kickin' White Shoes, Pat Boone and the Wazoo.
Radio used to be so much more proper than it is today. That's why I got into television. Nothing improper would ever pop up on TV.
But Jack McKenna is doing the weather on your TV station.
The exception that proves the rule. When we're on radio, we'd keep it dignified.
Like the time you guys decorated the Christmas tree and had too much rum cider.
Or the time you had the blood drive during the war and someone swapped Axel Fettel's special elixir with the Red Cross orange juice.
Or the pancake-eating contest when we were swimming in maple syrup and Morgan Murphy got sick on Don Mason.
Or the time during the clothing drive when Jack and George G. Newton traded pajamas.
Jack likes feet in his PJs.
Or how about that time the spider ran across the studio floor and Jack screams.
That was you, Colonel.
Oh, Jack screamed first. And it was a really, really big, ugly spider that had about 1,000 eyes inside of its eyes.
Okay, point made.
Where'd you come from, Colonel?
Look, Michaels, I'm not going to tell you about the birds and the bees. That's what you're supposed to learn from some kid named Dick on some street corner when you're like 12 years old.
Hey, just one question. If you're here, Lou, who's doing a 6 o'clock news on TV?
I started the news, but then when we're wearing Halloween masks for the end, and so Jack is finishing using a Lou Martin mask. Nobody's the wiser.
Just a couple of wise guys, McCorkle and McMartin.
Is he wearing his jack-o'-lantern mask again?
Oh, that's so corny. It's cute.
Yeah, it fits his head just right.
True.
So, Colonel Raffaele, what threads will you be wearing to the VFW party tonight?
Scariest since I went as FDR when he was running for a fourth term back in 44.
So, you're going as Governor Adlai Stevenson.
I got the last Stevenson mask left at the Republican HQ.
I'm going as J. Fred Muggs on the Today Show.
I'm going as Fire Maiden from Outer Space so I can be saucy for Lewis.
I thought I'd go as Robbie the Robot.
Far out, I'm going as a mushroom cloud that glows, and my wife is going as a fallout shelter. That's real square, man. And I've got someone on the telephone. Say hiya, Jack.
Hiya, Jack. Hey, Jenny.
Jack McKenna, you old so-and-so.
That's me, of two old so-and-so. Hey, Lou.
Hey, Jack. Who's covering for us on WDSM-TV?
Kind of, I know. Ray's wearing the Lou Martin mask now, you know. He's doing sports. He says, I made it all sweaty, though, and the wife's face is drooping, and parents are calling, saying their kids are crying. Oh, it's terrible. Cats are hissing, and dogs are growling.
Wonderful.
So where are we going, trick-or-treating?
We're too old to trick-or-treat. Remember, the kids almost beat us up last year.
Well, sure. We're a trick, okay. No treat. One little kid bit me right in the jack-o'-lantern. Maybe we'll just go to Molly's Tavern. Robbie the Robot and the saucy Fire Maiden from Mars and J. Fred Muggs would fit in perfectly. Oh, hey. I gotta go. Ray's nose just fell off. See you at Molly's.
Definitely time to cut out, cats and kittens. Tomorrow morning, start your day with Dave Garraway and his monkey, J. Fred Muggs, at 7 a.m. on WDSM-TV. Then stay tuned for the Ding Dong School, followed by Bandstand at 8:30, then Tic-Tac-Doe. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and J. Fred Muggs doesn't bite anyone at Molly's.
Wait!
It's engineer Joe Gardonio.
Yes, I am here, too.
Museum curator Gerald Stowe.
Wow, that's the creepiest Halloween costume I've ever seen.
That's just as regular threads, Clyde.
Hey, I'm the one that usually gets names wrong. I'm not Clyde. And where did you find that get up?
In my cloakroom.
Right next to his other hip-haunted castle clothes.
Yes, I'm glad you like my cape and black tuxedo and dark green cummerbund.
I'm still here. I will not be ignored. I have a more frightening, creepier, willies-giving, goose-pimple-raising mask than any of you guys.
Oh, kind of a come-as-you-are costume, huh, Skinny?
Nope. I have the coup de grace of fright and shock. Let me get out my bag. Ha! There!
Eyes of children!
Turn away! Don't look!
Oh, my!
It's hideous! It's worse than the Taft-Hartley Anti-Union Act.
Ha! I'm Pat Boone, and I brought my records.
That's just sick.
Yes, it's twisted like a wooden stake.
Who is this cape guy?
For the love of Marilyn Monroe, please don't play.
I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do. I've been to the east, been to the west. She's the gal that I love best. Tootie Fruity, all Fruity. Tootie Fruity, all Fruity. Tootie Fruity, all Fruity. Tootie Fruity, all Fruity.
I gotta admit, you raised my hair sky high.
The back of the colonel's shirt is raised.
I can't help it if I have a hairy back. It's a sign of intelligence.
For Lou, Jack, Joe, and the colonel, Harriet and the labor guy, the museum guy.
Yes.
Don't forget me.
This is Tim Michaels rocking your world, babies.
Been listening to Radio Superior 1956, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Jennifer Simonson, Chuck Quirmbach, Dave Strandberg, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1956 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
Oh, bye, bye. Ba-da-ba-ba-loo-ma-ba-da-bamboo.